Hi, this is Russ Hackman. Coming up next in the Wall Street Sweeper, is extreme outperformance of the NASDAQ setting us up for a hangover? We're talking about how to make sure to hold on to those gains. Plus, red flags to watch out for in a financial advisor. It all starts now.
And now, the Wall Street Sweeper with Russ Hackman.
Sweeping away the clutter of Wall Street every week, Hackman Wealth Partners presents the Wall Street Sweeper with Russ Hackman. Russ Hackman, president of the firm Hackman Wealth Partners, 25, actually plus years in the financial industry and early years on Wall Street trading desk. We always open the show, a show contained packed with information we need to be aware of in our financial lives, but with Russ's market update. Before we get to that, though, Russ, I know we're in New York, too, but we're also in Boston. How about those Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, great for the Celtics, right? It's been a while. How many championships did you say it's been?
18.
18. So that's awesome. Fantastic. With apologies to the Knicks fans.
Yeah.
That are listening. I was really actually, and I think a lot of people were hoping for Celtics-Knicks, at least in the Eastern Final. That would have been pretty cool.
And this show would be a little awkward. Since
yeah,
we're
I
New
took
York
my son to one of the Knicks games in Madison Square Garden this year. Now, I'm actually a Bulls fan, just to make life confusing. I grew up in Chicago. And
of course.
I was in my 20s in the Michael Jordan days. And you know, the other thing we can both be grateful for, Dave, is that Michael Jordan made being bald cool.
He did, and I've credited him for years for that. And he actually is the one who made me take the razor all the way to the head.
That's good, because before that, George Costanza was saying, you know, bald is something to be embarrassed about, right?
Right.
We're grateful about all that.
Yes.
But, you know, moving on from bald heads and basketball. Yeah, let's talk about the markets, because it is a little bizarro out there. There was like a Bizarro World episode of Seinfeld. Remember that? Anyway, we're seeing sort of this extreme dispersion in the returns of different parts of the market, and it is concerning. So, like, you know, we've talked about how tech stocks sometimes dominate the market, but it is getting kind of extreme. So if we look at the NASDAQ's up 19% for the year, the S&P 15%, the Dow 3%, small cap stocks are basically flat to down on the year. And we know that also a lot of the performance of the market's driven by this one stock, Nvidia, which is, you know, AI going nutso. And it is concerning a lot of the market experts. Now, you know, what do the market experts know? Who knows? You have seen in different times in the past that this kind of extreme kind of speculative fever in one corner of the market is not a great sign for the overall health of the market. If I even look in the last 3 months, I see the NASDAQ up 10%, basically the Dow and small cap stocks basically flat. If I look at 1 month, I see, the NASDAQ up 6%. I see the Dow is down. So just piling in largely into one, two, or three stocks. And you know, I've read some people saying, hey, the last time I saw something like this was in the year 2000 during the internet bubble. And at that time, NVIDIA just became the number one company in the U.S. and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was Cisco. Everyone remember that? And Cisco then went on to drop like 80% in the next 2 years. I don't think anyone's necessarily suggesting that, but I think there is some storms a brewing that would seem to indicate that something's going on out there. We're also triggered because we like to listen to Warren Buffett and what he has to say. And he's the guy who says, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. Well, people are definitely acting pretty greedy out there, right?
So we need to be prepared.
Let's keep our eye on it. We've started to see some more inflation-friendly data, on the other hand, but also some economic weakness. So some pretty bad numbers in retail sales over the last week or so. So maybe an interest rate cut coming, but maybe the economy's getting weaker. And again, maybe we've got some funkiness here in the market. So to me, you know, it's kind of like, be on the balls of your feet. Let's talk about holding on to those gains. We talk about principal protected growth or locking in gains because nobody wants to go through, like, remember in 2021, the markets were up a lot and then you lost it all in 2022, right? Yeah. And it's been coming back, but it's like nobody wants to go through that again. So we've got some good stuff coming up on the show. We're doing two truths and a lie, red flags about financial advisors, and as usual, questions from listeners and stories about listeners. So good stuff to get to, and a great chance to offer folks out there that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement. Come in and see us for that second opinion. How do I hold on to these gains? How do I make sure that I'm protected income-wise in retirement? We always look at tax planning, too, when people come in. Let's offer that to the next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. Next five at no cost and no obligation for the comprehensive review. Coming up, a case study from Vice President Hackman Wealth, Jack Young. The clutter of Wall Street every week on this show with Russ Hackman and the team at Hackman Wealth Partners. We're back into the Wall Street Sweeper. Speaking of the team at Hackman Wealth Partners, Hackman Vice President Jack Young in the studio. Jack, great to be with you again.
Great to be with you, Dave. Thanks.
You know, you bring case studies to the show, as does Clear here, and Russ also on the show. They're very relatable, these stories. And also, it may get us thinking, wow, you know, what would it hurt to get a second opinion? You're going to share with us a story of a couple in their early 60s, and I'll let you take it from here. But I know they did not do well in 2022. Not a big surprise, but sounds like not enough in 2023.
Right. So, Dave, I guess the point of this case study is really to kind of outline the dichotomy between some, you know, some years, the performance returns of certain years. So this particular couple came in not too long ago. They were in their early 60s. And, you know, we got to know them a little bit. We were hearing their story, you know, understood how they felt about market volatility, how they, you know, how they felt about risk as a family and as a couple. And right away, you know, basically they came in, threw their statements on the table. And before we started diving in, just got to talk to them as, quite honestly, human beings first, mm-hmm. right? And I could tell right away from just seeing the first page of their portfolio and getting to understand who they were that this was kind of going to be an eye-opening conversation. So, and we want to make it very clear: being invested in the market is people will experience volatility. That's okay. I mean, right. You know, to a certain degree, and but there's a few things, you know, Dave, you want it to be in line with people's risk profile, how they feel about market volatility, and track market, you know, when the market's up, you want to be up, when the market's down, you want to be down. So for the folks out there listening, you know, the S&P 500 in 2022, you know, a lot of folks know was down around 19%, depending upon which, you know, industry you were used to track and, you know, which funds, anywhere from 18 to 20%, let's say. And, you know, so then, as a lot of folks also know, in 2023, the S&P 500, good indice tracking the U.S. economy, was up about 24.5%. Mm-hmm. So anywhere from, you know, again, depending upon which exact, you know, metric you want to use and how you want to calculate returns.
Up about the same they were down, right?
Actually, Dave, yes, even more so. You could even argue 4 to 5 points, you know, even 6, depending upon your calculations, you know, 4 to 6% even higher, right? So, and what we experienced through our analysis was, you know, being down 13-14%, and they were about 90% invested into this. So, you know, one could argue, you know, most of their portfolio. And the dichotomy between those returns was the problem. It wasn't the 2022 wasn't the problem. 2023, you know, we would say maybe lagging a bit too much, but really wasn't a problem. Because is being up 8% in any one given year horrible? No, of course not.
Didn't they need to rebound more, greater than their loss to regain?
Well, exactly. And a lot of folks that are you know, in tune with performance returns and math understand this, but quite honestly, a lot don't. And you would be surprised, I guess, for the listeners out there. I really want to hit home with this is you would be surprised the amount of people that come in through our doors and they're like, yes, any one particular year wasn't so bad, or we lagged a little bit, or the year before we lost maybe a bit too much than we were expecting. But when you kind of run an analysis that really takes into account the year over year return and some time weighted calculations that are actually quite easy to understand when you break it out, it's very eye opening. And for this particular couple, you know, it really did prompt them to say, hey, geez, you know, I don't really have a lot of principal protection. And for the part of my portfolio that was safe, really did kind of get hammered a little bit in 2022. And because we're in some, whatever you want to call it, moderate risk portfolio that, you know, they, you know, a lot of people hear that they're in a moderate or moderately conservative portfolio mix, you know, then it somehow justifies lagging the market, which, you know, that's really what I wanted to kind of exemplify with this case.
How did you tweak it? Because it sounds like partly attributed to the fact that they were maybe not at too much risk, maybe a little too moderate. How did you rectify it?
Exactly. So by a couple ways. For the portion of their funds, maybe about 40% in this couple's particular case and the way that their financials worked out, 40% of their money they wanted principal protected, which, by the way, it was not. It experienced loss in 2022, as we just went through. So for that part of it, we found competitive strategies in the principal protected arena. So we totally took those funds, rethought about how to allocate them, and made sure 40% of this portfolio, Jack, the market took a 30%, 40% hit. You know, there was the Category 5 storm our president, Russell Hackman, talks about. How is that portion of our portfolio doing? Well, it's doing exactly what it should be. It hasn't lost a dollar, and that is serving as a stable part of your portfolio. And then for the remaining 60% that was, you know, I guess in what they were being told their moderate, you know, portfolio risk, for the part that had risk, you know, it was very unfocused. There was foreign equities, there was underperforming small caps, there was high fund ETFs and mutual funds in there. So, you know, really what we did is reallocated it to be in very low cost market tracking equity ETFs, which, you know, that really helped them experience growth for that part of their portfolio in line with the market. And I think, yes, will that part of their portfolio experience volatility? Without question. But now their portfolio is in a place where they will have market tracking growth and they will have principal protection, which is the point. So I would encourage anyone with $500,000 or more listening to come in to see us. Let us rerun a performance allocation analysis, a performance report, and get some answers to your portfolio.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. And the next five at no cost, no obligation for this comprehensive review. Wall Street Sweeper Russ is back in the studio after a quick break. It's all about helping you get a clear picture of your financial life. Russ Hackman, president of Hackman Wealth Partners. Russ, I remember the game, and I guess we'll call this two retirement truths and a lie, and you identify the lie here.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. I like these. We haven't done one of these game shows in a while. Let's do one.
All right, here we go. Two truths and a lie. First part, I cannot depend solely on Social Security benefits to pay for my living expenses when retired. Or, it's never too late to start saving for retirement. Or, I don't need help with my plan. I can use an app for free and get the same information. Which one's the lie?
Well, we're making it easy here with the first one. I mean, I don't know anybody in the East Coast that can rely on Social Security for their retirement, right? And it's never too late or too early or any time to be saving. So,
yeah,
pick a day, start saving, right? It's interesting, like a couple of years ago, we used to get these questions like, hey, should I go with a robo-advisor? And I don't hear that anymore at all. And I think a lot of what those sort of And I don't know anybody who really wants to sit down and hope that this robot is going to be okay. Like, I think most people want a human being who's got some experience yes. to say to them, hey, this is the right strategy. And particularly when stuff starts swinging around. And I'm predicting we're going to have a pretty interesting rest of the year. That's for sure, Dave. I mean, that may not be the most brave prediction, but it's going to be interesting, plus with the elections too. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you really need something customized for you. You need something that's going to survive. You see this sort of nuttiness going on in the market right now, and nuttiness goes in two directions. You have the nuttiness going up, nuttiness going down, right. and you got to be able to navigate the nuttiness and have it not make you nutty.
Exactly.
I tell you, that's really some inspiring stuff, Russ. That's just
it really is.
Shakespeare couldn't have written it better, right?
I doubt it. Handle the nuttiness to avoid being nutty.
Yes, exactly. So we tackled those two truths in a lie. What do we got next?
All right, Medicare is free, and I don't need to pay for anything health-related once I enroll. Medicare does not cover all medical expenses, or you will spend more when you retire because of higher medical costs.
Well, I mean, clearly the answer in all of this is you still can pay for a lot post-65, particularly if you get into things where you need, like, rehab, long-term care, nursing care, et cetera. You know, if you have the right Medicare supplement plan, you know, you can be covered pretty well. Like, I know that from my parents, but depending on prescriptions you may be on, especially if you get into some of the newer prescriptions, there's a lot that Medicare doesn't cover. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, the big six retirement risks, one of those risks, and those are the six risks you need to have covered to be sitting back and saying, hey, I do have an actual plan. You got to have a plan for covering those six risks. So if you're out there and saying, what are you talking about, Russ? Big six retirement risks. I don't know what those are. Then, you know, listen, we repeat them periodically, and then also come in and see us, because if you don't have those covered off in a way that's written down, then you just got a portfolio. And a portfolio ain't a plan. So give us one more, Dave.
All right, here we go. I'm always going to be comfortable with the risk level that I'm at now. Emergency savings is different than borrowing from your 401k, or it's never too early to begin planning for retirement.
Risk levels are, as time goes by, risk levels are a function of how much money you have and what your age is, I think, right? Mm-hmm. But really, everyone needs to be cognizant that this, again, let's go back to the nuttiness in the markets. You can only have so much of your money moving around with the nuttiness up and down. And, you know, I don't even care if you got $10 million. I don't think anyone wants to watch their assets drop in half, you know, the next time things get nutty in the opposite direction. That's one of the big six retirement risks, too, is how do you manage the next Category 5 storm, which usually follows something nice and calm, or at least the wind starts a-blowing. And a good chance to offer to folks out there, come in and see us for a complimentary second opinion, complimentary portfolio review. Next five calls that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. Coming up, questions from listeners. Giving you a clear picture of your financial life on this show, and when you meet with Russ Hackman and the team at Hackman Wealth Partners, our get-together every week with the Wall Street Sweeper. That is all about sweeping away the clutter of Wall Street and in your financial life. We're going to continue with the game Retirement, Two Truths and a Lie. I give the three statements to Russ. He identifies and expands on the lie. Here's our next one, Russ. Tax planning is a huge component of a comprehensive plan. Or the younger you retire, the more risk of running out of money. Or the next one, a 401k is not a retirement plan in and of itself. Wow. Okay, that's tricky.
Yeah, focus on the couple. It looks like these are all fairly true. Tax planning is a huge component of a plan. the younger you retire, the more risk of running out of money. The 401k is not a retirement plan in and of itself. Let's do take this opportunity to talk about the big six retirement risks, because those are the core components of a plan. And the big six risks are, these are the six things that can get you in retirement. And having a plan means you've got something in writing that actually describes how you're not going to get hit by each of these risks too badly, you know, when and if they come along, right? So number one is the risk of running out of money. Number two is the risk of a huge hit in the market. Number three is taxes. Number four is inflation. Number five is excess fees and underperformance. And number six is healthcare costs, right? So again, talking about this specific example and having a complete plan, when you come in and see us, folks get that opinion on, hey, what should you be doing to change what you have now in order to make sure one of those six things isn't gonna get you. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, $500,000 to $20 million is to, you know, we meet people, you know, everywhere in between. And somebody's got one of those risks. If you have more money, taxes usually are more important. Yeah, but market risk can be too. On the other end of the spectrum, risk of running out of money, risk of the markets really changing the health of your retirement is a lot more important. So, and then kind of focusing back here, tax planning is a huge component of a comprehensive plan. That is true for a lot of people, particularly as you have more money, both potentially estate tax planning, but also the planning around the taxes that you're going to pay when you have to take money out of your retirement plans. And then, so if you have $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million plus in retirement plans, it is a virtual certainty that you know Uncle Sam's really going to get you late in life on those required minimum distributions, and really important to have a plan. Take us to the next two truths and a lie, Dave.
A fiduciary makes decisions with your best interest in mind. You can create a plan that involves guaranteed lifetime income for life, or you'll need $1 million to retire.
Well, at least $1 million, I think, is a good number. $1.5 million, $2 million, even better. You know, that obviously depends on where you live and lifestyle and all that. Yeah, there are plans with guaranteed lifetime income, and, you know, sort of the, the more things are a little bit tight for you potentially, and we help evaluate that, the more I like to see, and the more you don't have a pension, which not a lot of people have great pensions anymore, the more that you just have Social Security, then I want to see you have some more guaranteed income, right? Mm-hmm. So that can be interesting depending, again, on your overall level of assets. And I talk about this frequently, that the word fiduciary does not mean that your advisor is free of conflicts. I'm a fiduciary. I'm not free of conflicts. It's about knowing what those conflicts are. Wall Street, though, is very much still about the hidden conflicts and the hidden fees. And that's the part I really don't like, obviously. And then trying to get people to breathe easy and relax. Don't worry, I'm a fiduciary. I always have your best interests at heart. That's generally false when it comes to the use of the word fiduciary. You want to hear more about that? Give us a call. Next five cars that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. Next five, no cost, no obligation. Coming up, listener case studies. Every week, the Wall Street Sweeper gives us what we need to consider in our financial lives. And we're back into the Wall Street Sweeper with Russ Hackman, Russ Clear here, Jack Young, also part of the team and part of this show, giving us what we need to consider, helping to sweep away that clutter
of Wall Street. We're going to get to listener questions in a second. I'll tell you how you can get a question to Russ. First, we've got, and this is our New York listeners will really appreciate this. A couple of Staten Island guys got together, did a TikTok video that's gone viral, and they're expressing their, in a Staten Island way, frustration with inflation.
These haircuts are what, a mandatory $40? I just paid $40 to what, slightly bald in fashion? When I was growing up, it was $20, right? $15 haircut, $5 tip. The $20 went a long way.
What about Arizona iced tea?
What a f***ing shame, huh? $1.25. Great buy. $1.20. What a f***ing lie. They were 99 cents for years. And what, inflation? I get it. Inflation. This is going up. That this shouldn't go up. It should be a national policy that Arizona prices remain 99 cents. It's f***ing unconstitutional.
Not Arizona, the state, the Arizona, the iced tea.
It's unconstitutional. I'm afraid it is constitutional your government to deflate the value of your dollars. So, absolutely. And I think that, remember, we talked about the best way to get out of debt if you're a government in a lot of debt is to deflate the currency. And they're doing an interesting job of deflating the currency while at the same time thinking that inflation is coming down.
Well, those
there
guys
are some,
don't speak.
I don't want to engage in sort of, you know, large conspiracy theories, but there's some that think that some of the inflation data is being massaged.
Oh, really?
To look politically better for certain people, let's say.
But numbers can be massaged.
Yeah,
definitely.
They can. Like, no one believes the numbers that come out of China anymore. And, you know, there's some concerns that there may be some shading around the edges here. Because
imagine that.
I went to the grocery store this week. I mean, I live in a relatively pricey area, I guess. But, like, and I went to, it's a nice supermarket. But literally, I did not have an avalanche of groceries. This is the first time I think this ever happened to me in my life. It was $400.
Whoa.
I wasn't like buy beer, wine. Like, and I was like, what is going on? Yeah.
Man, anyway, you weren't in Wally World, I can tell you that.
No, I definitely was not. Anyway, I know we got some listener questions to get to, Dave. So let's get to those.
And get a question to Russ. HackmanWealth.com. Click the radio tab. Here's Wayne. I received an inheritance in 2019, and it's a complicated process, but I have many gold bars and coins in what was left to me. What can I do with that? So from an investment standpoint, or is there anything that I should be doing with it?
Well, it sounds like, you know, I've said before, you know, I'm not much of a gold bug. If you look at the return of gold from, you know, when it really went off the charts, you know, gold mania was around in the early 80s. And if you look at the return on gold from then until now versus just having money in the bank, the bank went out by a mile, and having money in the market, you know, went out by 10 times or something. So not a great place to keep substantial money. So if you have, you know, bars or anything that's like significant, you can, you know, carefully online, you can find places that will buy and sell. And I think you got to make sure you find a reputable place. But, you know, I'd recommend putting that back into cash and getting into something earning 5% interest, get some in the markets, not too much. That's going to give you a much better return over time. You know, there's a certain group that is like, hey, if the world comes to an end, then, you know, maybe I can use my gold bars to, you know, buy myself some security.
Bigger problems than that.
I tend to think, you know, like to buy a ham sandwich with a gold bar. I think the people actually that'll be ruling the world in an Armageddon or society breakdown is probably the people with the most guns.
Right, and who are buying that.
Not the people with the most gold bars, because they'll probably just take your gold bars with their at gunpoint.
You're going to have to buy from those ones hoarding that non-perishable food.
Yeah, I hear those ads for that, where you can buy the food that's going to last like 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You want to move to Allen?
We got enough to worry about besides getting into the collapse of civilization. Yes, let's get into the next question, Dave.
Right, because we're not there yet.
No, not even close, thankfully.
I have a new Roth IRA, Alan says, and it keeps asking me to pick my ETFs for it. I don't understand why or what that has to do with saving for retirement in a tax-free way, which was initially the appeal of the Roth in the first place. How does it work exactly?
This is kind of confusing. Is sometimes people are like, hey, I got money in an IRA, I got money in a Roth, or I got money in a certain account. There's a difference between sort of the tax designation of an asset and an asset, right? So in other words, I can hold any asset. So if I have an account, I have an account that is a Roth account. That means this is money that has a certain tax designation. It's already paid tax and it won't pay tax again. In that account, I can invest in anything. I can invest in stocks. I can invest in exchange-traded funds or ETFs like this gentleman is asking. I can invest in index funds. I can invest in an annuity. I can invest in gold, you know, what have you. So, and then same thing is true if I have money in an IRA. An IRA can invest in almost anything. A regular account can invest in almost everything. So that's it. We got time for the last question, Dave.
That's a good one from Susan. Russ, I hear you talking about locking in gains in this up market. What are the best ways to do that?
Well, the folks who listen regularly know that, you know, I believe that there's three asset classes in this world. There's not the two old ones, stocks and bonds. There's the three new ones, I'm calling it, the new ones for the inflationary era. It's stocks, it's cash, like T-bills and CDs and things like that, because I think we're going to be earning 4%+ for a long, long time. Oh. And the last one is principal protected growth. And we don't have time for all the details, but that asset class is a substitute for what used to be in bonds. It's a substitute for having too much in the stock market. And the idea is, would I take 2 or 3% less than stock market returns? So if the stock market's 10% on average, would I take 7% on average for having a lot less downside risk on a piece of my money? And these are expected returns, of course, not guaranteed. But the answer for a lot of people is yes. And that asset class is missing from almost everybody's portfolio. It comes from insurance companies. It comes in the form of securities. There's novel ETFs that have downside protection in them. So a lot of interesting ways to go about getting that exposure to this important asset class. We talk about asset allocation. That's probably the number one thing that makes a difference to your financial future. Come and talk to us about what we would advise as your asset allocation. Next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. Again, 617-674-2000. Next five, no cost, no obligation. Coming up, Russ shares some very relatable listener case studies. The Wall Street Sweeper continues with Russ Hackman. Russ Hackman is president of Hackman Wealth Partners, a firm and a team very passionate about making sure that you're in the right direction in your financial life and giving us what we need to consider on this show every week, and certainly more specifically when you meet with them, as many do. Russ is going to share some of those stories with us, or case studies, very relatable. And we're talking about at least one couple or maybe two couples in this, Russ?
Yeah, we got two couples here that I want to talk about. Recent clients within the last few months, and for all our listeners, now we're very, very proud now to be in Boston's kind of our home base, and where we've been on for many years. You know, we're now in D.C. and New York, and I live in Boston and in outside of New York. I'm in D.C. a lot because I went to Georgetown. So we're really proud of, meeting people everywhere. We got a broad team. Obviously, it's not just me. Claire, Jack, and a growing team service our clients in addition to our operational staff. And so continues to be great to meet so many people week in and week out and welcome. When folks come in, they certainly get our opinions on some of these most important things we think they should know about, like our opinion on asset allocation, our views on what should you be doing in order to pay less taxes in retirement. and the list goes on. We're very happy to share those. And then folks get that recommendation from us. Some then continue on the conversation and decide to become clients with us. Some do not for whatever reason. And we're happy in any event, anyone who doesn't become our client, we hope we can stay friends. And, you know, that's it. So, yeah, we do have a couple. It is interesting, I think, for people to hear some of the stories of folks that listeners that called in, just like you may be out there, called us, came in, started talking with us, may have been like, well, why would I call somebody on the radio? Most people tell me, like, hey, that's the first time I've ever called anybody on any sort of solicitation ever.
You got them thinking.
Yeah, most people do that, but you know, they come in and see us. It's not a sort of a pressure-filled experience one iota. It's really a chance of just kind of sharing stories, learning about each other, and seeing if it's a fit. So in this specific example, I got a couple of couples that I started working with who are pretty young, like in their late 50s. I would call that young and retired, right? That's pretty young to be retired. It is. And, you know, in both cases had gotten to, you know, 2-3 million kind of numbers, good numbers, and really kind of wanted to jump out of the corporate rat race. You know, one couple was closer to 55, and they're really looking at, it's interesting, we talk about these stats that 50% of couples will have somebody make it to age 95, 20% of couples will have someone make it to age 100. And so you're saying, hey, 55 years old, that's, we may be looking at 40, 45 years, maybe even more of retirement.
Incredible.
Right? And so it is just so important to be thoughtful. The biggest, again, the by far the biggest things that move the needle when you're looking at such a long period of time, number one, asset allocation, the right exposure to the three asset classes I was just talking about, stocks, cash, principal protected growth, having the right allocations. If you got stocks and bonds, one of those portfolios, which most people have when they come see me, that is not going to get you where you need to go. Even if interest rates have been dropping a little bit, bonds are not a good long-term place for your money, especially when the government is spending like crazy. So when we met with this first couple, 40, 45 years to retirement, we're making the right asset allocation. We're making sure costs are stripped out of their portfolio, unneeded costs. We're looking at plans to get substantial amounts of money into Roth accounts. They had kids, so that is massively beneficial both to you and to your kids to have these tax-free accounts. So that tax planning was just imperative for them. And hey, we're looking at budgets that can maybe double or triple out through our retirement because of the effect of inflation. And how do we plan for that? There's a lot of details that we get into when we do that. And that is just largely missing from those big box firms and those 800 number companies where they just give you a bound report that says, hey, you're probably going to be fine. And here's a 10,000 scenario. Sure. And so for these people, it was about asset allocation, stripping out costs, modeling inflation out 40 plus years, and making sure, no, you know, virtually no matter what, that they're going to be okay. A second couple, and in their case, we were moving money from a big box firm. A second couple had had their money almost entirely in index funds with one of the 800 number firms. And had their money there for and still do have a substantial chunk of money at one of the 800 number firms. We're just in a low to zero cost S&P 500 index fund, and had the gentleman that I met with was saying, hey, I someone told me to do this when I was young and it's just paid off in spades. And, you know, I agreed, like, hey, that's fantastic. And you can leave plenty of money there. I sometimes get this question, Russ. Hey, well, if we work with you, do you have to manage all our money? The answer is no, we don't. And so for these folks, it's about, okay, we got to this point, but now we got 100% of our money in stocks, and they were in their mid-60s, and hey, we're looking at this chart you show us, and hey, the markets do blow up every 20 years, and we can't be affording to lose half of our money. So for them, it was about allocating some money into principal protected growth, leaving some money with their S&P 500 index fund, because really there's nothing wrong with that, and trying to really manage the right amount of cash allocations, the right amount of principal protected growth allocations, making sure they're going to have enough income, and layering tax planning in on top of that. All of those things, and yeah, we'll still give them our opinion on the S&P 500, even if we're not directly managing that. So it's all about taking what you come in with, the raw material, and molding it to what's appropriate as you get older, layering in that tax planning, and a good chance to transition to another opportunity. Come in and see us for that fresh thinking, that comprehensive plan, that tax liability estimate. Next five calls that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000. 617-674-2000. Again, 617-674-2000. This is a comprehensive review to the next five at no cost, no obligation. Looking ahead, will there be some rough spots for the rest of the year? We'll get into that coming up. Away the clutter of Wall Street and the clutter in our financial lives, as they do and have done at Hackman Wealth Partners. Russ Hackman is president of the firm. Russ, you actually earlier on the show were talking about in your market update some of the things. It almost gives me this feeling like things are good, some things are good, but it's not time to party yet. Certainly, it's time to be cautious. You had also a great quote from the Oracle of Omaha.
Right. We were talking about, from Buffett is, as he says, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful.
Yeah.
And this is a time when others are greedy. Right. And you're really seeing people piling into the tech part of the market. Retail is there a lot. You've seen some of the same nutty stuff come back from, remember, the meme times of 2021, GameStop.
Yeah.
Sort of nuttiness around some of these meme stocks. Crypto's been kind of at highs. And so there is some greediness out there. And again, when you've seen some huge moves in huge companies like Apple, like Nvidia, we've talked about this relative outperformance between like the NASDAQ, the S&P, and you got the NASDAQ up around 20%. You've got the Dow only up like 3%. You got small cap stocks that are down on the year. That is not a sign of a healthy stock market. So
yeah.
What does that mean? Well, it does mean that at some point there will be a severe reversal in that. Now, you never know where it will be, but, you will get one of those, the S&P drops 10% in a month like that. That will happen. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen this year or next year or when, but it's going to happen, right?
It
always does. So, again, we're here too. But look, if one stock, Nvidia, wants to drag up our investments and some of our principal protected growth investments are tied to the S&P 500, so that's pulling up the S&P, and then some of these investments lock in gains at certain times. Like, hey, I'll take it, right? I'm not here to say the S&P is up, that's bad. I'm saying we get a little wackiness here with one stock pulling the whole market.
Right, then, it's not even.
Yeah, well, let's take advantage of it. Let's lock in some gains. We still want to have our core stock market portfolio. But let's also, not get ahead of ourselves and start saying, hey, the markets are going to go up forever. Because if there's one thing we do know, having lived through, so much, even in the last few years, is that things can change in a big, big hurry. So
on a dime.
transition to close out the show. Thank you for all of our listeners, our oldest listeners in longtime listeners in Boston, Connecticut, and now down into Washington and New York. And we so appreciate you all. We love the opportunity to meet you all when you call us. And a final opportunity for folks to call in, get on our calendar, see us in each of our cities. Next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000, 617-674-2000.
What you hear Russ talk about every week on this show, what's concerning you and your financial life, that's what you can get into with Russ and the team with a comprehensive review at no cost, no obligation. Have a great week ahead. We'll see you next week here, same time, for Russ Hackman and the Wall Street Sweeper.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Wealth Advisors, LLC, BWA, a registered investment advisor and an affiliate of Brookstone Capital Management, LLC. BWA and Hackman Wealth are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BWA, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. The opinions expressed by Russell Hackman, Claire Hare, Jack Young, and their guests on the radio show are their own and do not reflect the opinions of this radio station. Before acting on any information mentioned, please consult with a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine if it is suitable for your specific situation. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, item 4, for additional information.